journey into the Bible and explore its hidden text and rich wisdom. Join Adil Kazilski Mondays at 1 p.m. for the trip of a lifetime.
I'm Adil Kazilski, and thank you for joining me today for a trip of a lifetime. We are tripping in the Bible, tripping all over the place, but in tripping, we are learning a tremendous, tremendous amount, a Chodesh Tov. Today is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. It is a month of light. It is a month of the few being able to overcome the many, of a little bit of light dispelling a lot of darkness, and of a month of miracles. And so my prayer to you is, as we usher in the new month of Kislev, which, as everybody knows, houses the holiday of Chanukah, we in fact are looking to this world to see what miracles in fact we are going to witness. And we've seen a lot of them, and we thank Hashem publicly for the incredible protection and miracles that we are seeing on a daily basis in the land of Israel and around the world. And hopefully this light will get greater and greater, and we will see more and more. In the meantime, we do what's very important, and that's we learn Torah. Every day you should set some time to learn Torah. That's why I'm here for you and for myself. I gain too. And we are tripping through the Bible. We are in the book of Exodus. We are in the book of Exodus now. We just started the parsha of Yitro. Last week we spent an entire session just on one verse. That's how incredible Torah is. One verse can teach us so much. And I don't think that we are going to go too many verses today, either because there's so much to learn around what is happening in the Bible. And by the way, that's the beauty of learning Torah. Torah isn't just an intellectual pursuit or a nice story that once you know the story, you move on. The fact of the matter is we believe that God himself is enclosed in the wisdom of the Torah. It is the infinite wisdom of God. And that is why we will learn it, move on, we'll learn it again, and we'll learn it again, and we'll learn it again. And in fact, we will be able to understand it deeper every single time we go around. So let's just hop in. We're in chapter 18. If you're sitting at home, you're able to open up a Chumash. You can look at the book of Shmot, the Parsha of Vayikra. It's Perek Yudchet, that's chapter 8. We are going to start on verse 2. Just for those who are picking up in the middle of nowhere, and this is the Parsha of Yitro. Who was Yitro? Yitro was the priest of Midian. He was Moses' father-in-law. He heard everything that God had done for Moses and for the children of Israel when they brought him out of Egypt, and he decides to become the first Gentile to convert to Judaism. We had a whole discussion last week about conversion. If you missed it, there's always High FM podcasts. Go to highfm.com, look at podcasts, go to my show, Mondays 1 to 2, and you would be able to pick up there. So I'm not going to elaborate again on how he became the first convert, but let's see what it says now. Verse 2, Vayikach Yitro, Choten Moshe. So Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took Tzipora. Who was Tzipora? Eshet Moshe, Achar Shiluchecha, took Tzipora, who had been earlier sent home, Ve'et Shnei Baneha, and her two sons, Asher Shem Ha'echad Gershom, the first son's name was Gershom. Ki Amar, because, why was he named Gershom? Ki Amar Ger Hayiti Be'eretz Nochria, that I was a stranger in a strange land. Veshem Ha'echad Eliezer, and the name of the other one was Eliezer. Why? Ki Elokei Avi Be'ozri, because the God of my father was my helper. V'yatzileni Mecherev Paro, and God rescued me from Paro's sword. So what happened was, let's just understand it chronologically. After Moses heard from God at the burning bush, and he was told, okay, why don't you go down to Egypt now, please, and go tell the Jews to go that God is going to release them and let my people go. He brought his wife and his sons to Egypt. And then I guess things were getting really, really heated up in Egypt. It wasn't exactly the best place. And so what God did, what happened was Moses changed his mind and he sent them back to Midian, and he continued doing his mission in Egypt alone. Now, our sages teach that Moshe actually divorced Zipporah at that time. And that's why the Torah stresses that Yitro was Koten Moshe, Moses' father-in-law, and then it goes and says that it's Zipporah Eshet Moshe and Zipporah Moshe's wife, because this was a sign of righteousness from both of them. Neither of them really abandoned Moshe. Moshe left them. He went and did his own thing, kind of like ran off his own career, so to speak. Obviously, it wasn't a career he chose. He really was very reluctant to take it on, as we've learned it. In previous parashiyot. But hell, if somebody just goes and leaves and never comes back, well, find something else, find someone else to live with. But Yitro, sorry, and his daughter Zipporah were both very righteous. They had patience, and they were waiting until the right time came that they could learn the ways of the Torah. And so when they saw that all the troubles were over, then Yitro and his daughter immediately started coming to Moshe. They were exceedingly dedicated, and it's something that we've got to understand in the greater picture, because one of the questions is, why would Yitro, who was a pagan priest who lived in a palace, who had all the honor and all the social standing that one would need, he actually was also in the palace of Paroi, why would he want to throw it all away and come down to Moshe, okay, coming to an arid desert, and embrace Judaism? And the answer is that he was in fact very, very honest. He was able to intellectually look at things. He could see that there was no way that the Jewish people were saved other than because they had a God. And for him, the pursuit of truth was greater than everything else. And therefore, he chose to join the Jewish people along with his daughter and Moshe's two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, which we will discuss now, why they were called Gershom and Eliezer. So you've got to hang on. And by the way, if you want to join the conversation, 34519 is our SMS line, 061-895-1019, our WhatsApp number.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Right, let's discuss and understand Moshe's two sons. His first son was named Gershom. Upon his birth, what did Moshe say? I was a stranger, ger. Ger is a stranger, sham, which means in a foreign land. Ki ger ha'iti be'eretz nochriyah. I was a stranger in a strange land. And so ger, sham, is what they are looking at. Now, understandably, Moshe found it that he was really a total stranger in Midian. The land felt completely strange to him. He was kind of like a fish out of water. He wasn't with his family. And so that's what he named him. Okay, there was nobody there, by the way, that would share his beliefs or anything of the sort. His second son, he called him Eliezer. Why? Ki Elokei avi be'ozri, because the God of my father was my help, the Yasileinu mecherev Paro, and saved me from the sword of Paro. What was Moshe alluding to there? He was alluding to an event that happened previously. If you recall, there were two not so nice guys by the name of Datan and Abiram, and they had informed on Moshe and reported that he had killed an Egyptian. Remember the one time when Moshe walked out into the field and he saw an Egyptian hitting a Jew, and he got really upset and he killed the Egyptian. Datan and Abiram were actually Jewish. They were part of the Israelite camp. They went and tittletailed it off to Paro. They were really into money, wealth, and rather like trying to be on the side of who they thought they should butter their bread on. And so they went and tittletailed on Moshe. And what happened was Paro sentenced Moshe to death. He was ready to kill him. If you want to remind yourself where to look, that you can go back to chapter 2 of the book of Exodus, verse 15. And the Midrash tells us there that as the sword descended on Moshe's neck, it became as hard as a stone, and he was saved. And so this is why he calls his son Eliezer, because my father's God was my helper, and he rescued me from Paro's sword. Well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with the chronological discussion about his first son and his second son? Because truthfully, it seems more logical that he should have named his first son Eliezer and his second son Gershom. Why? Because he was first saved from Paroi by not having his head chopped off. What did he do after that? He ran to Midian, where he became a stranger in a strange place. So name your first son Eliezer to describe that you were saved in Egypt. Then you ran away to Midian, and then call your son Gershom, that I'm a stranger in a strange place. So why is it that he swapped it around? So the answer that the Midrash gives is that Moshe did not want to commemorate his deliverance publicly. Okay? Why? Because Datan and Abiram were still alive and they were in power. And because of that, they still had a lot of authority and he didn't really feel secure. So, albeit when his first son was born, he should have called him Eliezer. He didn't. He didn't want to attract any attention. He called it his first son Gershom. Okay? But by the time his second son was born and Hashem had said to him, go back to Egypt for all the men who seek your life have died, he knew then that he could go and he could memorialize and commemorate the fact that even previous for him being a stranger in the land of Midian, in Egypt he was saved. And so he named his second son Eliezer. Truth be said, had Datan and Abiram really died? No. But what had happened is that they completely lost all their wealth and all their power, and they were considered as dead. So Moshe felt really secure enough to name his son Eliezer then, because he felt that now he can open up his mouth. His enemies were impoverished, and he didn't have to be concerned that they'll report him to Paroi, because they now in Egypt were considered beggars, and they wouldn't even allow him to come into the palace. The other reason why he called his second son about something that happened first is that Moshe didn't even feel safe, the fact that Paro could kill him. But by the time he came back, the Paro who wanted to kill him had died, and there was this new Paro that he was going to deal with. So that's a more practical reason for the whole story. But Torah isn't always simple. We can understand this on a practical level of why he named what, but if you go and look at the way the Torah describes the names of the son, go back to verse 3, it says, Shem Ha'echad Gershom, the name of the one was Gershom, and then if you look in verse 4, Veshem Ha'echad Eliezer, and the name of the one is Eliezer. Why would he go and say the name of the one is Gershom, the name of the one is Eliezer? Surely what you should have gone and said, the name of the one is Gershom, and the name of the second one is Eliezer, because Eliezer was the second son. Why is the Torah using the same phraseology? The name of the one is Gershom, and the name of the one is Eliezer. And so the Midrash answers like this, that much later, When Moses went on high to receive the Torah, okay, he went up Har Sinai to receive the Torah. He obviously learned the whole of Torah while he was up there. And while he was up there, he heard God's voice expounding on the concept of the Parah Aduma, the red heifer. Now, the red heifer is a very enigmatic mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that it says that even King Solomon, who could find 70, 70 reasons to every mitzvah, he could not understand the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. Essentially, what is Parah Aduma? Parah Aduma is when they find a red calf, meaning a calf that is completely red in its color, red hair. It can't have any mums. It can't have any what's the translation of mum into English? My English, she leaves me. Blemishes. Okay. It has to be a certain age. And what would happen is that if this little red calf would fulfill all the requirements according to halakha, it would be slaughtered, it would be burnt, and the ashes of the red heifer were then stored in a container in the Beit HaMikdash, and it was used to help people who had become impure. For example, in the days of the temple, you would become impure if you came in touch with a dead body. Then you would have to leave the camp for 7 days. You would have to go through a whole ritual, and part of you coming back into the camp, the priest would take the ashes of the red heifer and sprinkle it on you, and you would become pure. The enigmatic part of it is that then the Kohen became impure by touching the ashes of the red heifer. So it doesn't make any sense. It's called the type of mitzvah in the Torah. It's called a chok, a commandment that we don't understand. It doesn't make any logical sense. It's not commemorating anything. We can't wrap our minds around it. And so it was. So here's Moses sitting on the mountain, and he's listening to God explaining the mitzvah of the Parah Aduma. And a voice comes out in heaven, says the Midrash, and it says, "My son Eliezer has taught that a cow is called a para when it is 2 years old." That's what the voice in heaven said. So when he heard this, Moshe went and said, "Ribbono shel Olam, Lord of the universe, all the universe is under your hand, but you are teaching something in the name of a mortal human being." Which God replied, "That's true, because a time will come when a saint will be born, and he will be the ones who teach the laws of the red heifer." And Moshe was taken so aback, because remember, I told you the red heifer is something that you don't understand. You can't understand. He replied, "Amen. Lord of the universe, Ribbono shel Olam, may it be your will that the saint will be my descendant. I want him to be a descendant from me." And God replied, "By your life, he will be one of your offspring." And that explains why it says, and the one's name was Gershom, and the one's name was Eliezer. Because even though the second son of Moshe's name was Eliezer, we weren't talking about the second son Eliezer. We were talking about that one Eliezer that was going to become, who was going to be, de who was destined to be a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was going to be an incredible human being, and he was going to be the one to teach the world about the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a step back, and I'm going to tell you the story about this Eliezer, who was a descendant of Moshe. Right, way back. Eliezer's father's name was Hyrcanus. Hyrcanus was a very wealthy landowner, and he had a lot of sons, and he put all his sons to work in the fields, and among them was Eliezer. Okay, and he would do whatever work his father gave him. One day, Daddy Hyrcanus found Eliezer sitting on a rock, and he was weeping. And he said to him, "Son, why are you crying? Is it because the work is too hard? If so, I'll give you easier work." Eliezer didn't reply, so his father tried to give him easier, less demanding jobs. But every time Daddy Hokonos saw Eliezer, his son, he would find him weeping. Eventually, Eliezer broke down completely, and he told his father that he was crying because he didn't want to do this work at all. What he wanted to do was he wanted to dedicate himself to the study of Torah. His father's immediate reply was, "Are you crazy? You're 28 years old. Now you're telling me you want to become a Torah scholar. If that's what you had wanted, you should have begun when you were young. I would have like put you through yeshiva. I would have sent you, you know, to go learn in the great yeshiva institution. Now at 28, you want to become a Torah scholar. Okay? You're too old," said Daddy Hokonos. "Better get married. Let your children learn Torah. And you teach them Torah when they're young. And then if you put enough effort into your children, they'll become scholars. But Hoiki, for you, it's way too late." Well, that didn't do too much to Rabbi Eliezer, to Eliezer. He sat down, started crying, and what happened after that is that he fasted for 2 weeks, and he davened to Hashem. He prayed to God to open up a way for him to study Torah. After 2 weeks, his prayers were answered, and Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu Hanavi, comes disguised to him as an old man. A stranger, an old man. So an old man bumps into Eliezer. Eliezer's been fasting for 2 weeks, crying and crying and crying. And the stranger, a.k.a. Eliyahu Hanavi, says to him, "Why are your eyes so red?" So Eliezer says, "Because I want to learn Torah." So Eliyahu Hanavi says, "Well, if you want to become a Torah scholar, then you've got to take my advice. Go to Yerushalayim, go look for a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He will teach you." Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a very, very famous rabbi. I don't want to go into his whole history, but he was head there of the Sanhedrin, and he eventually escaped with his life, and he went and learned in Yavne. So, this stranger was giving him incredible advice. He didn't wait a minute without as much as a goodbye to his father, packed a little knapsack, and off Eliezer goes to Yerushalayim as fast as he could. His father didn't even know that he was gone. He looks up and he comes to the city of Yerushalayim. He looks for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he finds him, and he falls to the feet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and this Eliezer is crying. So now Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, "Why are you crying?" So he replies, "Because I want to study Torah." He says, "Okay, but would you care to introduce yourself? At least tell me your name." Silence. He didn't say anything. So he says to Yochanan ben Zakkai, says to Rabbi Eliezer, "Well, do you know, have you learned the Shema? Do you know the Amidah? Do you know Birkat HaMazon? Do you know how to bench?" And Eliezer says, "No, nothing." So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Look, stand up. I'll teach you all three." There, this young man, Eliezer, doesn't get up. He just stands at the feet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he's crying. He says, "My son, why are you crying so much?" So Eliezer replies, "Because I want to learn Torah." He says, "Okay, I'll agree to teach you two rules every day." So he goes away, and every day he comes to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and all day long, this young man reviews the rules and he analyzes them, and this goes on for 8 days. Rabbi Elazar was so taken by the fact that he was learning Torah, he didn't eat. Okay? He ate virtually nothing. You know what happens when you don't eat for a very, very long time? Unfortunately, your body doesn't like it. And one of the signs of somebody who's in starvation mode is that there's a foul odor that comes out of the mouth. Rabbi Yochanan is trying to teach this guy 8 days later, and look, Eliezer didn't smell so nice. So he says to him, stand at a distance, because I can't teach you when you're so close. Again, it upsets Eliezer and he begins to cry. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, why are you crying now? He says, because you're treating me as if I'm a leper. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, it's true, my son, for there is a terrible odor coming from your mouth. But if you got yourself right and you learn Torah properly, the time will come when it will be replaced, this odor will be replaced with a sweet fragrance of Torah, and it will ascend to heaven. But you've got to tell me, whose son are you? You haven't even told me your name. Eliezer acquiesces. He says, I am Eliezer, son of Hyrcanus. What? Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. You're the son of one of the greatest men alive. How could you have not told me? Today you must be my guest for dinner. Eliezer replies, but Rebbe, I've already eaten. I've had dinner in my lodgings. Where are you staying? So he replies, with Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. As soon as Eliezer left, okay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sent word to Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and asked them, has Eliezer eaten with them that day? And the reply was that for 8 days he had been with them, he had not eaten a thing. But the plot thickens, and you're going to hang on. And we're going to continue this after the break.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Okay, let's continue this riveting story. So here we've got a guy, Eliezer, who finds himself at the foot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, doesn't eat for days on end, and his only desire and wish is to become a Torah scholar. Back at the farm, as time passed, Hyrcanus' sons, the other sons that are all Eliezer's brothers, start pressing their father, Hyrcanus, to disinherit Eliezer. Look at him. What a good for nothing. He just disappears one day, doesn't tell us where he's gone to, doesn't come back, disinherit him. Now, to disinherit somebody, you have to go to Jerusalem, right? Because you have to do it in a rabbinical court. So the argument of Eliezer's brothers was sound. It did look like he abandoned his family, and there was no reason why he should have a share in his inheritance. And they put a tremendous pressure on Hyrcanus. And eventually, Hyrcanus agrees to take this drastic step, packs his bag, and off he goes to Jerusalem. Now, who's the rabbi of the city of Jerusalem? None other than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he's going to go to the court, better go see the chief rabbi. So his first stop in Jerusalem is in none other than the house of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And when Hyrcanus arrives, he sees the house was overflowing with a great celebration. And he looks inside, and Hyrcanus recognizes that the greatest and wealthiest men in the kingdom were there. Guys by the name of Ben Tzitzit HaKesat, and Nachdimon Ben Gurion, and Ben Kalba Savua. All those three men mentioned now were unbelievably wealthy guys. They later fed the entire city of Yerushalayim during that siege, which eventually they smuggled Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai out. So there's this whole party going on. The who's who and what's of society is there. Word comes to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that Rabbi Eliezer's father has arrived. No, make room for him, declared the sage. And he puts Hyrcanus right next to him and gives him some fruit to eat. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai looks around the room and he spots Eliezer in the corner. And he says to him, he points to him, he says, give us a lesson in Torah. So the man is very bashful, this Eliezer. He puts his head down and he says, Master, you can't get more water out of a cistern than what you put in. Whatever I'll say, it will only be what I learned from you. To which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai replies, you're not a mere cistern. You're more like an overflowing fountain. Pour a little water in and you get much more back. You're going to be able to innovate ideas in the Torah that were not even declared on Har Sinai. But I think you are afraid to speak as long as I'm here. I'm going to get up, I'm going to leave, and you will speak. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai walks out of the room. Rabbi Eliezer gets up and he begins to speak. And boy, was that a speech. He expounded on totally new concepts. He interpreted the Torah with a depth that had never been heard before. When you looked at him, you could see his face was shining like the sun, like rays of light emanating from his head. Ha ha, in parentheses between you and me, very similar to what his descendant Moshe looked like when he came back from Har Sinai with the second set of tablets. The Midrash tells us that the room became so bright that the people could not tell if it was day or night. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai walks behind Rabbi Eliezer and he kisses him on the head when he finishes and he says, happy are you, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that you have such a person as a descendant. And there's Daddy Horkonos sitting at the main table. So he shouts out, who is this young man that you are addressing? And the people replied, it's your son Eliezer. Wow, said Horkonos. Then I should add to what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, happy am I to have such a son. So Rabbi Eliezer was asked to continue lecturing. He was sitting. His father came to stand by his side. And when he saw his father standing by his side, he said to his father, sit, father, I cannot lecture the Torah while you stand on your feet. It's not kopetek, right? It's not honorable. No, my son, said Horkonos, I came here to disinherit you as your brothers have convinced me. Now I see all this honor. And all the incredible things you have done. Truthfully, your brothers are the ones that should be inherited, and I should give you everything as a gift. So Rabbi Elazar said, I'm not even equal to one of them, because if I wanted land, God will give it to me, because it says in Tehillim, Haaretz Meloya, everything, the land and everything in it, it belongs to Hashem, and Hashem would have given it to me. And if I wanted gold and silver, Hashem would have given that to me because it says in Haggai, mine is silver, mine is gold. Hashem owns all of it. If I wanted that, I could have asked Hashem. All I want from God is the power to understand his holy Torah. Truthfully, when we look back at the story, Rabbi Elazar studied Torah as a child, but he didn't have time to devote himself to Torah study until he was 28 years old. And once he became dedicated to the study of Torah, that's what made him great. And it says of him in the Gemara, if all the heavens were parchment, if all the reeds were pens, if all the inks were sea, sorry, if all the seas were ink, it would still not be enough to write down all his Torah teachings, because he became such a genius. The length and breadth of his knowledge knew no measure. Truthfully, when he told Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai that he didn't know the Shema and the Amidah and the Birkat HaMazon, he didn't mean that he didn't know how to say it. What he was saying is that he did not know the deeper mysteries implied in those prayers. But even at that time, he was really a scholar. And later, when he began to learn with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he advanced without limit. Now coming full circle, when Moshe saw this precious, precious jewel of a scholar who was destined to be born, that's when he begged Hashem to be his descendant. And that's why it says the name of the one is Eliezer. The Torah was using this unusual wording to teach us that the name of the scholar who would be unique in his time was in fact Rabbi Eliezer ben Hukonos, who was a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Okay, that was an incredible story. I certainly enjoyed it. And this, you could see why Torah is so expansive. Like every time you learn it, you can learn something else, and you need to learn the flesh behind just the verses in the Bible. I want to mention one more thing before we take leave of each other. There's another reason why the Torah says the name of this one was Eliezer, Shem HaEchad Eliezer. Believe it or not, Eliezer had exactly one son. His name was Rechavia. Rechavia, which comes from the word Rechava, expansiveness. On the other hand, we're told in Divrei HaYamim in the Book of Chronicles that he had many sons, and ultimately he had 600,000 descendants. And that's why the Torah stresses that Eliezer was unique, because he was so worthy of being the grandfather to so many descendants. Hope you enjoyed. I loved having my time with you, and I will, please God, be back same time, same place next week. In the meantime, Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, and I'll be seeing you, or rather, you'll be hearing me once again next week. This is 101.9 Chai FM.